Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we finished looking at verse 7. Let's listen as we begin with verses 5 through 8 today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
On his firm foundation for the Bible stands.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom. I welcome you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, I hope you'll have your Bible ready. We are at Titus chapter 3, and so if you'll go there as we get right back on the line here with our messages here on the book of Titus. And I hope that soon we are done. We have been on it for quite a while, but we want to praise the Lord that many of you have been edified and strengthened in the faith by it, and that's what we want to happen. And so that's a great thing for us to know. But let's get right to it today. We're in Titus chapter 3, and we're right now around verses 5, 6, and 7, and 8. And so instead of reading all of those together, I hope that you are there in a good King James Bible, and you're ready to follow along. Now, last time, when we closed out on this, we are beginning to see the requirements, okay, the requirement for each of us when we appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And so we finished out at that, and we were just starting to look at one of those great requirements. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. And I asked you to keep in mind verse 14, where it says, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust. You know, when he says not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, basically what he means is fashioning is to emulate something. And so you're taking the former lust, you're taking your new life in Christ, and now you're trying to fashion it to what you were in the world. And when you begin that, you are on the downward fall. So I hope that that is not true in your own life, and that you will remain faithful and true to our Lord and Savior. So that's one of the things that I really wanted to make clear to each of you today. Now, let's go with verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 1, because this is going to make it clear. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, in every area of your life. And that's actually where we ended last time. But what I'm trying to help you to see is that one day, if you're saved, you're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's going to be a time where you find out about the life of obedience. Now, some people think, oh, I'm a great Christian, but your greatness, you better measure it by the Word of God and not by what you think. God ought to really like me. I've done this. I've done that. No. Now, God also knows your heart. He knows other things that perhaps you should have done and you did not do. So we could go on and on about those things. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, God is holy. He is the one, if you want to emulate something, emulate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to emulate him, then you need to read more about him in his life here on earth. And as a matter of fact, we will go to 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verses 21 through 25, because we can read there of the example he left for us, and it is that to which you and I are to measure up. And when I say that, I do include myself, because like many, I do fall short of the honor and glory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which I am not proud of ever. Okay, so again, 2 Peter chapter 2, and when you look at that, and now I'm saying this, when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, let's get down to verses 21 through 25, and what does it say there? For even hereunto were ye called. Now this is a call. If you're saved, this is a call that you have in your life. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Now sometimes people feel like I've suffered for Christ. They made fun of me when I was trying to do something good, or they did this, or they told this false stuff about me. Listen, I'm a pastor. I have had so many false accusations, it would take several volumes of a book just to be able to get all the accusations that are there and the bad things said about you, the gossip, the discord, all those things. If you're going to be in God's ministry and you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to fulfill this call, then my friend, and that's not just being a preacher, when you start really living for the Lord, you're going to come under the attacks of the devil, and many times it's going to be from the people of the Lord. But again, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because as Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So he didn't throw it back at people that were throwing it at him. If you want to answer people that are throwing at you, making these accusations, always use the Word of God and let the Word of God, you can't make the Word of God, let the Word of God guide your decisions, so that in what you answer, it's a decision that you made, and the things that they're criticizing, you did based on the Word of God. And so if you'll base your actions on the Word of God, when they do criticize, these things come up, then you have a basis for it. And the sword of the Lord, the Bible, the Word of God, is your defense. So, with Jesus, no guile was found in his mouth. Verse 23 there, 2 Peter chapter 2. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. See, he didn't dignify their accusations. When he suffered, he threatened not. Remember there at the cross, things they were saying to him? And Jesus says to Peter, don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels right now? But if I do that, then how am I going to pay the penalty for your sins? Basically, is what he's saying there. So, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, that's what I, as a pastor, that's what your pastor has to do, that's what evangelists have to do, and that's what other Christians have to do. When you're standing for the Lord, and it seems they're under attack, you don't go back and threaten people. You don't go back and try to hit them with the same vile accusations. But you just commit yourself to him, to Jesus Christ. He judges righteously. And that will be something that really abounds to your account. Remember Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12? He said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and when men all say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake. Look, I'm a preacher. I've had those accusations. I've had those things. But he said there in Matthew 5, 10 through 12, and by the way, it's Jesus saying it, not me. He says, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, if you suffer for the cause of Christ, you don't have to get mad. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to get even. You just take a stand on the Word of God, know your call, and you do it God's will, God's way. And so, again, he just did everything on the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every Word of God. So if people say, well, he's just using the Bible to defend himself, that is a compliment. It really is. If what you say and the stands you take are backed up by the Bible, yes, the Bible is defending you, defending what you did in righteousness, what you did by the leading of the Holy Spirit, what you did according to the Word of God, because you were led by Him. And so, that's why He said, right there, in these verses, verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. Now, all that He suffered on the cross, but even before the cross, in Pilate's judgment hall, He was taken back there, and He was whipped with that Roman whip. Many times, people that were beaten with that Roman whip would die at the whipping post. The entrails would fall out, and they would die right there. But here was Jesus. It wasn't the time He was going to die, but He would have those 39 stripes with the bits of bone, metal, and ivory tied in, those little leather strands going off that whip. It was as possible for Him to have up to 351 different lacerations on His body. Now, we're not told that He had that many, but they could have been that many. But I'm saying that to say this. We are healed by those stripes. Now, I remember being in Israel. I remember going into Pilate's judgment hall. One good thing about it, when you're in Jerusalem, you go to Pilate's judgment hall, you're down there. It's interesting because excavation and everything else, pretty well, with all the other things they found, proved that this indeed was Pilate's judgment hall. Now, they've got what they call the upper room. They've got other places about it, and they really don't know on them. But this, just through writings and other things that are left there, we know that was Pilate's judgment hall. And even those that aren't saved have proven that, just historians trying to show history and their archaeology and so forth. So that was Pilate's judgment hall. And so I remember in there trying to read Isaiah chapter 53. And when I'd get about my sins and by whose stripes you're healed, I would just cry like a baby. I had a hard time. People were having, I'm hosting a trip and I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm crying. And I don't know if they understood a word I said because it was so hard for me. And I think it was hard. I think everybody had tears in their eyes by the time we walked out of there, knowing that's where Jesus got it on our behalf.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.